The fastest goals, the experts' opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Half time in quarter final two of the day, three of the weekend. Aberdeen are through, Celtic are through, Rangers are partly way there. They're 1-0 up at the break at Easter Road. There was 9 minutes added on. A nasty head knock for Martin Boyle. James Tavernier missed a penalty. John Lundstrom put in the rebound though, and that's the goal that separates the sides. You just wonder, Andrew McLean, Philippe Clement didn't see any need to change the starting 11 off the back of the exertions of Thursday night, but you wonder if that comes into it soon with substitutions.
Yeah, you do wonder that. Rangers did look a bit leggy towards the end of the game on Thursday. He definitely would want the same to happen in this game. It just depends what options on the bench he thinks are suitable. Rabi Matondo hasn't been in the squad for the last six matches. He's only just back from injury. Gordon Dale was talking earlier on about how, you know, he ran amok really against Hibs here in the last game when Rangers won 3-0, but he's maybe not fit enough to play a full 45 minutes. It might just be a cameo towards the end. Kamar Roof, he's being eased back into things after his long-term injury issues. Cyril Dessers maybe hasn't offered a whole lot in this game so far. Kamar Roof came off the bench and looked quite lively, I thought, on Thursday night, so it could maybe be an opportunity for him a bit later in this game to try and come on and make an impact to get more minutes in his legs as well. Even Nicholas Raskin, you know, it was maybe that midfield area where Rangers looked the most tired in midweek, because John Lundstrom and Mohamed Diamandé did a lot of running, but Nicholas Raskin just hasn't really been the player that he was towards the end of last season in his first 6 months at Rangers. So I'm sure Philippe Clement will be assessing his options. I'm not sure whether he'll make any changes. Of course, they have made one so far in the first half. Dujon Sterling, who, you know, has been that real utility player for Rangers, has played at fullback, at right back, left back, both of them in central midfield, where he's looked good. He's played on the wing as well. He's come off with what looked like a hamstring injury. Ross McCausland back from injury, back into the team now as well. And you look at the options for Hibs as well on their bench. Ellie Ewan has had to come on because of that worrying looking injury to Martin Boyle as well. If they need a goal, Adam Lafondra is always pretty good for a goal as well, so he could possibly be the avenue that Nick Montgomery goes down.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking back Thursday night. Did I dream up? Was there an image of Sterling with an ice pack on his hamstring or something? Or did he say in the lead up to today that he was feeling a bit sore from the other night?
No, there definitely was. He came off during the second half, didn't he? And there was an image of him, certainly that the TV cameras picked up, of him with an ice pack in his leg. Whether that was just precautionary, whether he did feel something and Rangers felt that he was okay to start this game, but it will be a concern for them, especially with the injuries they've got in those wide areas at the moment. Plenty of players out already. You know, the only winger that travelled to Lisbon during the week was Ross McCausland. He wasn't even fit enough to start, so it means they've got even more limited options as well. So whether it is a knock-on effect from something that happened on Thursday or whether it is a fresh injury, I'm sure Philippe Clement will update us after the game.
Yeah, on one hand, no point in jumping to conclusions when we don't know, Mark. On the other, if it is that carry on from Thursday night sort of thing, there's only so much you can do, I guess, when players are having to go to the well again. And that's what we talk about. It's all right, us, because we sit here and we're eating a lot of pizza and chocolate here and don't have a care in the world athletically. But, you know, asking players to have to go again and again, it can have an effect. So it'll be interesting to see if that is the case.
Oh, there's no doubt it can have an effect, especially if you're a player like Sterling, so dynamic, you know, rely so much on your physicality, high speed runs over long distances, like we've seen in the 30 minutes that he was on the pitch. Of course, it will have effect if you're asked to do it time and time again. Look, they have the best staff as well, so recovery time, they're looked after. But if he was carrying something for the other night, then would it have been a risk to play him? Yes, of course it would have, but I'm sure it would have been checked out with the player. Unfortunate for the boy that he's out, because he's found himself a real important player for Rangers, and unfortunate for Clement, but gives an opportunity, and McCausland's got to take that now.
Yeah, I think the teams are pretty much ready to come back out, so maybe Andrew McLean can tell us if there are any changes. Recap the 11s for both sides.
Yeah, the Rangers side first out the tunnel at the moment, just waiting to see if there are any changes. Jack Butland the first as he makes his way to the goal, followed by the rest of the 10 that finished that half for Rangers. So it will be Jack Butland continuing in goal. James Tavernier, Conor Goldson, John Souter and Ridvan Yilmaz at the back four. John Lundstrom and Mohamed Diamandé, the two holding midfielders. Ross McCausland out on the right. He was a first half substitute for Dujon Sterling, as we just mentioned there. Tom Lawrence and Fabio Silva alongside Cyril Dessers, just waiting for Hibs to make their way out the tunnel, but hopefully more of the same in this second half. It was entertaining, wasn't it? It was really open, end-to-end game as well. Maybe surprised that there's only been one goal in the game so far. It's not really as if both goalkeepers had been absolutely peppered and had to make loads of saves, but Rangers did get away with one, didn't they? Jack Butland, you know, struggling to really control the ball on his own goal line, took a couple of touches, Maialida slid in, the ball hitting the post and then going out for a corner, and it's probably just the fine margins of luck, really, because Rangers maybe got a stroke of luck when, you know, the penalty, James Tavernier saved, rebounded back into a dangerous area, could have gone anywhere, but John Lundstrom, credit to him, he was quickest off the mark, bundled it over the line, but that is the goal that put Rangers ahead. The Hibs team have just made their way out the tunnel as well, doesn't look as if they've made any changes either. David Marshall continuing in goal, the back four, then Will Fish, Rocky Bashiri and Jordan Obita, the three in midfield, Nectar Triantis, Nathaniel Mariah Welsh and Joe Newell. It'll be Maizine, Maialida, Emiliano Marcondes and Ellie Ewan in the front three. Of course, he replaced Martin Boyle. Tom Lawrence and Mohamed Diamande standing over the ball at the moment, ready to get underway for the second half.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Looking for a pharmacy? They've been serving Scottish communities since 1996.
Well, you all predicted Rangers would win this at the start. They're winning at the start of the second half, so I assume you've not seen anything to alter your thought process.
Nah, the only thing that would alter my thought process would be if Hibs score the next goal.
And then you would just be a massive hypocrite and change your mind.
Yeah, but I don't see that. I just have a feeling that it's not their night. Even David Marshall made a terrific save from the penalty from James Tavernier, and it wasn't enough. You know, it's an unfortunate night altogether for Hibs, and if Rangers score a second goal, take a 2-goal lead, it really is over.
I think you would need a big turnaround from Hibs. They didn't offer anything the first half, testing Jack Butland, apart from Jack Butland's own
testing
mistake.
Himself.
Yeah, testing himself. So if they're going to get back into the game, they'll need to improve in that. I know Rangers haven't been battering David Marshall's goal down, but they look a bigger threat than Hibs.
Yeah, it's taken on the exact shape that I thought it would be open, but when it's open like this, it comes down to quality, really. Rangers have got better quality than Hibs. Hibs have got a poor back line and they've been punished for it. See, if I was Nick Montgomery though, I would be annoyed at the penalty kick, how it got turned into the net. I would be annoyed at my own team for their reactions. I get that Lundstrom's timed his run well, but Daz will tell you, if you're in that situation, you're a defender, you're making sure you're blocking Lundstrom, you're in front of Lundstrom. Lindstrom's just standing to the side. He's ready to go. He's anticipating it. While the Hibs defenders, Newell and Bashiri, are standing either side of him. I would be annoyed at my backline for that.
Nothing worse as a fan. Where you weigh the penalty save and then, oh, yeah, as he goes in. On the deflation. Opposite end, you go, oh, fuck, yay! It's that change in emotion when a penalty rebound's turned in.
Yeah, it is. But I've got to say, and by the way, not just the manager will be disappointed, I think the goalkeeper will be disappointed. He'd be looking for he looking for a bit of protection from his defenders. But all credit to Lundstrom. And it's very easy to sit back and look at Tavernier, who's usually brilliant from the penalty spot, and say, do you know what, he'll put it in the back of net. He didn't do that.
It was
on
one
toes.
Of his poorer penalties for a while, wasn't it?
Yep, close enough to Marshall to make the save. He does try to put it to where Daz suggested, but didn't get enough on it at all. Poor penalty.
I wonder if he'll both them.
I've said it before, there was a point in the season where his overall percentage, it wasn't
that great.
It wasn't amazing. No, it was just kind of in line with the average, I think, early in the season. That he'll maybe have boosted that a bit because he scored a few.
Maybe he'd always, he's Mr. Reliable.
Much like your Beat the Pundit performance, average on the percentage you are.
Good times and bad times, we'll all have to take them.
Corner Hibs then. Stephen McLean's spotted something. I think it's an object thrown on.
A vape.
Someone's chucked their vape onto the pitch. So Stephen McLean goes and
Hibs
gives it
problem
to his fourth official.
They've got a problem with that. You know, you go back to Lauren Shanklin tried to take a penalty and being assaulted by all these vapes and a bottle opener and who knows what.
Pie, don't forget the pie.
Yeah, the pie. So need to be careful.
Hibs with a dangerous looking opportunity. Their second corner in succession now. Lundstrom can't really clear it properly and it goes out.
See, he was frustrated with that, Lundstrom, because he had enough time to really get something else on that, to turn it away out his box, but he just couldn't sort his feet out, and it hits his knee and it goes behind for another corner kick.
Well, Hibs have got to capitalise on this early pressure. They without a goal, they're nowhere.
Yeah, Marconde is with the outswing, and it's a good header. I'm not sure it was going to beat Jack Butland, but it was heading in that direction, and it had to be blocked away by Lundstrom again.
I don't know if it was testing the goals, to be honest with you. Yeah, but Lundstrom doesn't know that. He's got to header it away and defend, and he defends his area.
Next one comes in.
Another one.
It's going to be another corner. Three in quick succession now for Hibs.
They're really putting Rangers under any pressure. I know they've got three in a row here, but their delivery, you know, hasn't been great. Could do be a wee bit better. It's going to be another outswinger here from Marcondes.
It's a lot of nice pace on that ball, and it does reach a Hibs body, but into the arms of Jack Butland. I think it was in the end up. There's a few bodies in there, but I think maybe. Yep, it was. He just
heads off his knee.
Yeah, it came through a rock of bodies. He had to react, didn't he? And
was it? Oh, Rangers giving the, well, I thought they were giving the ball away. They have given the ball away. Hibs have started the second half brightly here. Good play.
There's nearly a slip which would have let Rangers in, but Hibs do just about keep hold of it.
Just always seem to have an extra man. Hibs in midfield, you've got to say they're working the space as well. However, not quite picking the right option when they seem to have a free man in there.
See, I think second half McCausland tends to hug the touchline. Sterling will play into out and give them that bit more security in the middle of the park. That's where he'll be a big miss, especially away from home.
Yeah, well, Dessers is trying to get in behind here, but Fish clears up on that occasion.
Well, both sides need a bit of serious intent when they get a look at the goal. But Hibs do seem to have a bit about them in the second half.
He's another one international call-up, Cyril Dessers, didn't he? Nigeria squad. I'm sure I saw that in the past few days. I can tell by the blank expressions on your faces. This news has not reached you.
No, I read it the other day myself, Gordon, and good to hear again.
Where did you read that?
In the papers. I've got to say, it's very open, and as I say, Hibs probably have started the better. Still to test the goalkeeper right enough, but
yeah, Hibs will be buoyed by the start to the second half, won't they?
Oh, much better. You've got to say, much better. Forcing, what, three corner kicks, balls into the Rangers box. Once again there, it's bouncing about inside the Rangers box.
That'll be your booking.
That'll be a booking. He's not having a good evening. He's not having a good evening at all.
Do you know what it is? That's a blue card, maybe.
Yeah.
See, if they brought it in, that's what they had in mind.
Cynical fouls.
I was looking at John McGinn's today. You got a straight red card, and I wondered if that would be blue if they ever brought it in.
Are they talking blue and you go for a sin bin type thing?
I don't think it's necessarily going to happen, by the way, but just based on what they were discussing.
I just think we're confusing enough.
Yeah.
I wouldn't like that to happen, but he's
looking for one less thing to have conspiracy theories over, because then you would, not only would you be arguing about the fact that a card was shown, you would be arguing about why was that? See, that should have been yellow, but he deliberately gave him blue there, so they had, you know,
the refs struggle enough with two cards. Never mind game.
Hibs could be in here. Hibs could be in, and the pass is poor. That will be an absolute frustration for Nick Montgomery. It wasn't a tough pass. Ellie Ewan's quick, and all they had to do was feed it into his path. But they're still in here, and it's poked away for a corner. Real wasted opportunity for Hibs. Ewan was through on his own, but he couldn't be found by a teammate.
Yeah, you're 100% right. That's a wasted chance. That is a great opportunity. Hibs are really on the front foot here. They've started second half brilliantly. Rangers just need to be careful, because Hibs are looking to get back into this cup tie.
And now they're in bother.
That's yeah, but they're not getting the pace to get away from the back line queue.
Yeah, the pass is good though from Dessers. That's what was lacking up the other end. He finds Silva, who's got McCausland for company. And this would be typical. Hibs would be really kicking themselves if they fell two behind, because they've been the better side since the restart 8 minutes ago.
Yeah, a good break there from Rangers. By the way, if I was Montgomery, I would take a beat off now. now that he's been on a booting, he's gave Dessers a clear cut chance. He's gave away the penalty kick. He gives up another opportunity there. He's a stick on for a red card, another mistimed tackle, and he's away. He's really struggling, and that led to that Rangers break again. So Rangers one end defending their box to the other with a set piece. What a second goal. What would that do for the game now? Probably put it out of Hibs' reach, of course.
Oh. Yilmaz.
Yeah, corner to Rangers. Ridvan Yilmaz is going to take it. Going to be in swinging, you would imagine. Well, no, not you'd imagine. It definitely will be. Diomande had thought about offering, but he goes away, headed fairly effectively. But Hibs not in a rush to get everybody out.
He's hit
it allows
it,
James Tavernier strike from distance. Oh. Parried away for a corner.
The minute he gets that ball on that right foot and he sees the goals, you know he's going to hit. And Marshall gets across here. That's a good save because it's on target. It's curling. You'd expect David Marshall to save that right enough.
I'd be again annoyed at the full back line there. They actually got up to their 18-yard line and stop almost to say to Tavernier, on you go and shoot. Why would someone not take the step forward to block that? They were quite happy for the Rangers defender to shoot.
Yilmaz gets another go at it. Hibs deal with it again. Can they get out better this time? They're not really in any rush.
They're stopping at 18-yard line.
It goes all the way back to Jack Butland, so you would imagine they will certainly come out now.
Well, you would like to think so. They really need to put pressure on Rangers high up the pitch, and they've got the players to do it. They've got pace at the top end of the pitch to put Rangers under pressure, but it's the press at the minute, just a wee bit, you know, it's a wee bit half paced. You see Tavernier in the left back position, that's the time to go and try and win it back. When Tavernier's in the left back position, Yilmaz is in the right back position, so they're obviously disorganised from the corner kick, but Hibs allow them to play it.
And Hibs won't want to drop out of it, will they? You look at the way they started the second half, and when they got those corners, Marcondes and others were doing the old cheerleader act, G'ing up the crowd, trying to, just got to keep everything intense. So they won't want to drop out of it, Gordon, just by giving away a few silly corners.
No, obviously, I don't know what the manager says to them at half time, but it's had a reaction, Gordon. They've come out, forced a few corners, put a bit of pressure on. I keep going back to, I think we will get more goals, because I think this is very open. I'm very surprised of how open this game is. So there will be goals. It'll just be who gets the next one, because I think that's an important one. Yeah. I really do.
You know, people say good old-fashioned cup tie. Do you think anyone will ever say this is a good modern cup tie? Is there such a thing?
It's a moderately entertaining football match. The plenty of mistakes getting made, but it comes down to this. Hibs have got to get an equaliser. If Rangers get a second goal, Hibs won't score three to be in the next round.
Remember, extra time and penalties is a possibility.
I'm really going to put my hands up here and say, I do not care who wins this game. Somebody win it in 90 plus minutes.
Nobody wants it on a Sunday night, do they? Nobody. Dancing on ice.
We're
we'll
on
until
9 o'clock if it goes to extra time. But don't let our selfish ways get in the way of things here.
I wish both teams all the best, but somebody win it, please, in 90 plus minutes.
What's your usual viewing on a Sunday evening at this time?
What does a man of your hobbies watch on a Sunday night?
I watch a lot of sport. I watch a lot of box sets. Mm-hmm. I don't really watch TV. I'm not a big lover
of TV. Have you watched? It's no secret, I've been feeling really sorry for myself and moaning to everybody. I'm feeling really under the weather. I patch myself up, come in here, do this because I love you guys so much. But for the last few days, I've just sat.
What you watched?
Drive to Survive.
Oh, nothing with those eyes.
Exactly. I've been listening to Drive to Survive.
Inside these eyelids.
It is outstanding TV, isn't it? Yeah. And it's perfect for the sort of casual F1 fan.
I don't watch Formula One, but exactly. I watch that. It's fantastic. I do that in one sitting. I'll go to my bed and lie
really
up
good.
All night. And
I have
that.
To say, I've enjoyed the.
Shows
the
full
drama.
Swing.
I mean, the next series will be quite interesting, I would imagine. Drive to
Horner.
Survive.
Yes, yeah. aye. See what
Horner.
Goes on there.
You called him, didn't
Horner.
You?
Horner. Yeah.
Right, just double checking. That should be good.
Full swing as well.
Are you on the golf one? Is it good?
Oh, brilliant.
Is it? I like the last one.
Fitzpatrick's brothers, that's great. You must be jealous of your big brother. You've just won 168,000, he's winning 3 million. And then you walk out, they want a selfie with him. It was like me and Wilson. They want a selfie with Wilson. I'm left on my own. I'm left to take it.
I felt like Alex
Fitzpatrick.
Top golf. I thought he was in it. You take this, mate.
I never took it. I told the boy where to go.
So is that the next, is that the next recommendation for your adoring audience? Is it Full Swing?
Yeah, if you're into the golf, yeah, it's brilliant. Okay. I love
about
that.
Golf? Is it?
Oh, right. Oh well, Full right. Swing. Okay.
That was about your personal life.
Neighbours did chat the door at one point. Tell me,
Mercondes with the free kick. Oh, there's so many good jokes I wanted to get out there, but Mercondes' free kick probably brings us back to the football, Hugh, because it wasn't a bad effort from quite a distance, and Jack Butland had to parry it away.
Didn't save from Butland, the sign of life from Hibs. They're not working, Butland. That's the problem. But, you know, they're 15 minutes into the second half, but that's the first time they've worked, Jack Butland, really. They need to be doing more in front of goal.
Yeah, so it was a decent effort. Decent effort, but I think Butland, quality goalkeeper like him, always had it covered, and he does the right thing in palming it out.
So just before we move on, Full Swing is a golf documentary and not something you've got on your fancy TV.
It's a golf documentary,
that's
yeah.
That's fine. We'll get back to the football now, because we've reached the hour mark. Hibs nil, Rangers 1. You have to say Hibs have enjoyed the best of the second half so far, but no real clear chances. They had a really good looking counter attack that they should have made more of and didn't. They've had that free kick from Mercondes, a couple of balls into awkward areas. I just wonder at what point Rangers shuffle the pack, Gordon, and what that looks like. Someone like Kemar Roofe maybe.
Yeah, he's obviously a great option to bring on, because Desers, I think he's worked hard, but he's not really been involved in the game. Matondo gives you that pace, that bit of width, but with already McCausland on the pitch, playing very wide, hugging the touchline, he might just leave that just now. But he's certainly got one or two options. But Roofe, I will certainly say that he will be involved at some stage of this game tonight.
Don't forget, you can still get your calls in. The phone lines have been open all afternoon. It's just a bit different, this scheduling for us on a Sunday night, so we're obviously covering the game. But if you want to speak to the panel, and I'm sure you're itching to, then it's 01419511025. An hour gone at Easter Road. Hibs nil, Rangers 1. Tavernier's penalty saved, Lundstrom on the rebound, and that's the only goal we've had. It's been entertaining enough. Right on cue, actually, Wayne, who's a Hearts fan, has given us a call. How's it going, Wayne?
Not bad, Gordon. How are you guys?
Not bad. Not bad at all. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, first of all, obviously tomorrow night, I'm looking forward to going over to Morton and hopefully picking up the result there. I think we should be now concentrating on the Scottish Cup, because they've been sounding biased, but I think, you know, third place is kind of wrapped up. I think we've kind of consolidated the lead there, where we should be now looking at the other trophies and that's an offer to ourselves. But tonight, watching the game between Tiberian and Rangers, I was kind of disappointed with the penalty in the very first half. Again, I did think a couple of the decisions against Hearts and Celtic shouldn't have went that way, but tonight you can quite clearly see Sterling's already stumbling into the area, and there's a coming together with the defender, but he's already not striding in a normal fashion, getting into that box as if he's going to cut a ball in. So I think when McLean's gave his online on-field decision, that VAR should have intervened and said, you know what, you need to go and look at this, because he's not in control of the ball. He's already stumbling into the area, and that shouldn't have been awarded. And I feel as though some of the decisions where VAR don't want to intervene and give their opinion, they really should, because it is those decisions that define the game, where a fan like ourselves or supporter who went to the game can voice that. So we need the help from somebody else seeing it to say, well, that can't happen.
Do you know what I like, Wayne? I like how this is a Hearts fan sticking up for Hibs.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I'm sticking up for football, regardless if it's Hibs, Celtic, Rangers, Dundee United, Raith Rovers, you know, Arbroath, whoever it may be. I'm all for Scottish football, and where decisions have to be made, it has to be across the board. And if we can't deliver that, then it's flawed.
Well, unfortunately, I already know that the guys are going to disagree. You feel like it was a penalty. What do you make of Wayne? Because if there is anyone else who, alongside Wayne, doesn't think it was a penalty, that is what they're going to say. They're going to say, I think he was going down already. Don't know if he actually is clipped at any point. You know, what How would you argue against that?
I think Wayne's totally wrong.
I think,
look, he's entitled to his opinion like everybody else. Doesn't mean say that you get an opinion that you're always right, but I think that is a stone wall penalty kick. And I'll guarantee you 100%, if Wayne, Hearts fan, against Hibs, and that was given against Hearts in a semi-final of the Scottish Cup or whatever, Wayne would be on here saying it's a disgrace of a decision. So it was a penalty kick, there's no doubt about it, Gordon.
Bit of a flashpoint there at Easter Road. Nah, it doesn't look, oh my goodness. Marcondes goes down. I don't think it was going to get beyond half-hearted claims. Goldson was trying to get him back up on his feet. Marcondes then sort of threw himself down. It's all a bit theatrical. Incidentally, Ross McCausland's just gone off injured. He had came on, remember, to replace the injured Dujon Sterling. So injuries really, really mounting up. And Mark, what about you on Wayne's take that Sterling was already going down and didn't think it was a penalty?
No, listen, I thought it was a stonewall penalty. Now, if Sterling maybe is stumbling, there's still a tangle of legs here. He's still caught. And a beater is still wrong side. It's still a foul whether he's going down or not. So, you know, you can't say much more than that, in my opinion. You could almost see it coming seconds before, though. And I've been in that position myself before, where you know you're the wrong side and you're trying to get yourself back in the right side and you're trying to cross over the direction Sterling's going, and all you want is no contact. Unfortunately for a beater, he makes contact. Sterling's legs, you can quite clearly see, get tangled, and it's a penalty.
It's all kicked off at Easter Road.
Yeah, just to recap a bit, so there was a kind of strange one. So when McCausland was injured, he was limping off. Jordan Mbeeta, who's been booked already, so I don't know why he was taking the risk, but he kind of wanted to get involved. He was kind of chirping away at Ross McCausland. He was trying to push him off the pitch, you know, kind of get him away a bit quicker. At which point he was almost kind of pushing the Rangers physio as well. So it was all a bit strange, and that's just ignited things. That incident there with Goldson and Marcondes is heating up, shall we say?
It's getting petty, Hugh. Do you not think so?
Mark Wilson, yeah, without doubt. But Mark Wilson made the point earlier on that he would take Obita off because you know, he's not playing well and he's on a yellow card. A more excitable referee might have shown him another yellow card there for pushing at McCausland, who is,
I think,
after
Roof will get one here.
Kamal and he's Roof, just on the, yeah, pitch. He's just replaced Cyril Dessers.
Yeah, he's got one yellow card.
Wayne, a tie like tomorrow, back to your own team, speaking from experience, going there in the cup is a, can be a dangerous place to go. As Motherwell found out, Hearts though having a really good season, is there any anxiety attached to that fixture for you?
Well, when it comes to the Scottish Cup, then everything's up for grabs, especially, you know, Greener Morton could be looking, you know, getting a wee day out for the fans at Hampden. But I feel as though Hearts, we should go there tomorrow night and, you know, just do what Stephen Naismith is after the players that he's done for the last, basically, the start of the season. And I'm hoping it shouldn't be a problem where Hearts should go and deliver. But again, it's a cup tie, it's a Monday night, it's the under the lights at Capel where, you know, Greener Morton are going to go and give it all they want, and, you know, we'll just have to suck it up and see what happens.
That should be a cup tie, Hugh Keevans, yeah, in every sense of the word.
I get the feeling perhaps that when Morton beat Motherwell, they were in the midst of a tremendous run, 14 league matches undefeated. I'm not sure there's quite the same look about them now, not quite as confident as they were. I would fancy Hearts from this distance to win that cup tie. But as Wayne said, you know, it's under the floodlights, Monday night, telly, all the business. But they are allowed to revel in that kind of atmosphere. Any club would. So Hearts will assuredly know they've been in a game, but I think Hearts have too much for them.
Great night for Morton, Doug Emery. I totally agree with what you said there. I think they got Motherwell at the right time.
A beater's caught Matondo here. I did say
he should.
I told you.
That is really strange from Hibs and from Obita. He's off. He's going a second yellow card that was coming all night long. And off he goes, Jordan Obita. And remember, doesn't matter what VAR thinks here because it was a second yellow. So off he goes.
It's his own fault. I mean, that clearly. And he's still not off the park yet. You know, that there's all sorts going on. He really needs to get off the park.
Crazy all round, because Hibs, Gordon, this cup tie was there for Hibs. Rangers do look tired. They've had to make subs. Hibs had a good start to the second half. He's just kind of tussling with Matondo.
I've got to say,
is there enough in it?
I think Matondo makes.
I think his left arm. I think Abita gets over across him. And I think it's okay until his left arm then swings around and catches Matondo in the face.
He runs a risk, Mark, doesn't he?
I think you can just tell with a player who's just out of sorts, out of control for the full game. You know, three mistakes, three clear mistakes in the first 45 minutes, followed by a poor start. It was coming. And you know what? Nick Montgomery should have seen it coming as well. He should have withdrew him when he had the opportunity.
I agree with Mark. I think that's bad management. I really do. I think you do get a feel for your player. Listen, Mark called it 10 minutes ago. Look, he's never going to get away with that. He's never going to get, and people can argue it's soft or whatever it may be. You're running the risk. You're on a yellow. Does Matondo make the best of it? Probably does. But he shouldn't have put himself in that position for the referee to make a decision. And it's a second yellow. Now it's an uphill task for Hibs. But Mark's right. I think that's poor,
A couple of minutes ago, he's pushing the physio off for Rangers and McCausland when there's no need. You know, the player's clearly injured. He's been subbed. It's not as if he's wasting time, and he's pushing him off. So lost control, and he could have lost this tie for his side.
Yeah, Hibs would have enjoyed the start to the second half as well, and maybe it felt like they could do something, but they're down to 10 men, they're a goal down, and it looks like Rangers' chances of going through to the semis have increased. Thanks to Wayne on the line. Just a reminder that you can call, albeit we're trying to keep you updated on the game and spin a few different plates, but the phone lines have been open for quite some time now, so join us if you want and let us know. From a neutral perspective, Gordon, it just felt like we were set up for quite an exciting finish. I thought Hibs were really going to go for this.
To be quite honest with you, Gordon, I thought
made it more difficult.
Yeah, we were talking about the next goal being so important, and if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I would have probably said Hibs looked the favourites for it. And then down to 10 men, and they've lost a little bit of...
It's a pure tackle.
Yeah, it's
a straight red card. Hibs are down to 9 men. It is unravelling rapidly at Easter Road.
They've lost their discipline. There's no doubt about that.
He looked, by the way, first glance, he looked out of control. It looked a lunge. Now, Nick Montgomery protesting strongly with his staff, saying it's the wrong decision. He did look like he left the ground.
Well, this, of course, could be overturned by VAR, but then it would have to be deemed a clear and obvious error and all the usual caveats that would follow because it was a straight red card. So, John Lundstrom in possession.
I'm looking at that now and think that's a red.
Yeah, I agree.
It's very lungy, that's for sure.
It is lungy, but...
You're not giving that, Mark?
I'm not sure how much he... Does he catch Lundstrom there? Does he go through? Lundstrom certainly holding his ankle. I think he's reckless with the way he goes in, and then speedy goes in. Yeah. And I think he goes two-footed.
sounds like a red. Albeit reckless is yellow, remember. Reckless tackles are yellow. But if the excessive force is there and the endangering opponent, that's when it becomes red.
What do you get for stupidity?
I'm not sure about that.
You think he might get away with it?
At first glance, in real time, I thought the same as the referee. He's running the risk. That's a red card. But then when I see it in slow motion,
I think maybe borderline.
Yeah, I think it is borderline.
Well, I put it this way, I wouldn't be surprised. When I seen it in the speed,
it takes a lot to get them overturned, remember. Well, it should, in theory, because you're talking about clear and obvious error and that sort of thing. Whatever that means, though. I mean, because it kind of get a confusing sentiment.
I'm not sure he makes much contact.
Doesn't catch loads of John Lundstrom, does he?
I think he might have a case here.
Yeah,
I do. I'm starting to go the other way a little bit. When I seen it at real time, I thought, oh, it's a straight red. But he comes in for the side. He gets a lot of the ball.
I don't think that's a red.
Yeah, I'm starting to sort of agree with you, Mark, to be honest with you. There's angles that look worse than the other
sort
angles.
Sort of flicks both his legs out, which makes it look quite...
Yeah.
Dramatic. I think he's done for.
Yeah, he's away.
Yeah, I think that decision's going to stand. So Hibs down to 9 men.
Well, they've lost their discipline, as Gordon Dale said. The manager has to take part of the blame for the one involving John Obita. Also Nick Montgomery is losing his own discipline down there
when his staff booked.
Yeah. And you know, things could get even worse. But I think he knows, Nick Montgomery, in his heart of hearts now, that he's, you know, what chance have you got with nine men?
But ideal for Phillip, come on, because again, it's not been easy for Rangers. Sterling and McCausland withdrawn through injury, and you've got 15 minutes left of this tie, and you're playing against nine men. He would have taken that all day long. When he, you know, he first looked at this tie, he realised it was a couple of days after coming back from Portugal, and right when you thought was going to be the hardest part of the game for them to manage, they found themselves with a 2-man advantage.
A chance here.
Yeah, the nine men were into the box, but they just couldn't quite make the most of it.
I can hear Philippe Clement after the game talking, as he frequently does, about players being kicked off the park.
Not sure though, because look, is it a red card tackle according to the ref? There's not loads of contact on John Lundstrom.
I'm only basing it on the television pictures of Clement getting more and more agitated and excited on the touchline. He clearly thinks that what's happening is disproportionate force.
There's passion in the game, and the fans love to see that, but there's also, if you've been involved in football, you can tell the kiddie on ones, the passion ones, that kid on. They lost their discipline. Mark called it. I think Montgomery's got to take a lot of responsibility. He should have made substitutions. He could see one or two of his players were losing it. And they've all of a sudden got an uphill task. They started the second half very well indeed, but they've gave the advantage right over to Rangers now.
Yeah, there's going to be an uphill struggle. Nine men, a goal down. Not really sure what Hibs can muster under those circumstances, Mark.
No, well, it's going to be incredibly difficult for them to get out now. I mean, they have got no out ball. Marcondes is the highest person up the pitch at the minute. It is going to be relentless, probably wave after wave of attack. And so it should be. Rangers should really be patient with the ball. They should manage a game and pick them off at will. They've got the players too.
They're giving it a right good go. But as you can tell, they are outnumbered quite literally.
But this is where Rangers, once they win the ball back, they should probably go at pace. I mean, they're playing against a back four. If they commit bodies forward, they'll pick Hibs off.
Yeah, and Hibs will run out of steam, because obviously it's a lot of grass to cover, a lot of areas that Rangers will just keep moving side to side, and they'll obviously pick their moments. This should be cruise control for Rangers now. They should just dominate this game and probably put the game to bed very quickly.
Yeah, rubbing your hands if you're a Rangers player just now, because you probably would have been ready for an onslaught in the second half, especially the way Hibs started the second half. 3-4 corners in a row. Probably thought this is going to be a long 45 minutes, but it's panned out just nicely for them.
Another disappointing night though for Nick Montgomery. I keep on repeating that you know, he's got to get a result that makes the Hibs fans believe that he's the man for the future.
Yeah, you know what's going to happen, Hugh. He'll probably lose a cup game, and he's got to come out, and the first one I'll get it will be the officials.
Yeah.
But I think as much as you can disagree with decisions, and I'm all for that, I think you've got to look at your own players first and foremost.
Well, that's the thing. See, even on that, I wonder if we're looking at the red card in a kind of backwards fashion, because it happens. You then slow it down and go, oh, has he fully caught Lundstrom? See, if you strip it back to the start, what is he doing flying in like that?
Correct.
When your team's just gone down to 10 men, let's even say, even if he wins that ball clean and goes nowhere near Lundstrom, it's still a bit of a strange lunge to make, isn't it?
Without doubt. I mean, just in that period of the game, Hibs certainly lost control. Their players, you know, heated up a wee bit, couple of wee flash points. They're in
Hibs, but just Marcondes tries to drag it on the left.
Good defending that from Golton, because that's not easy.
They're actually playing better with nine men.
That's the effect of getting a beat out of the way, because he was having a nightmare.
Exactly.
Young Cole McKinnon's going to come on alongside Nicholas Raskin for Rangers. Remember, Rangers with a 2-man advantage. They've had a couple of injuries though tonight. Dujon Sterling went off, looks like a very straightforward hamstring injury. He knew it straight away. He was replaced by Ross McCausland, and then he went off injured and was replaced by Rabi Matondo. So it's been one of those evenings, and Hibs down to 9 men for 2 red cards.
And Rangers all over them now, looking for that goal.
To be fair, I don't think Rangers have been that impressive.
No, I agree with you, Mark. They've been very slack for me.
Yeah.
They should be just knocking that ball about. There's a chance, taking their time.
Yeah, it's going to fall edge of the box. Diamandis screws it wide.
But that kind of sums them up. Again, not quite catching that right. But passes going astray. Even when it was 11v11, I never really thought they offered anything in this second period.
Diamandi looks tired to me. I'd be very surprised if he stays on the pitch. That's a tire swing with the left foot. He's off. He's getting subbed.
Just seeing Goldson again. Marcondes in the box here. Just tries to drag it with his right. And Goldson just does enough. Sticks that leg out. You always run the risk of that.
Obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Phil's listening.
Or Alex Ray. Alex Ray's got the earpiece in.
Diamandi is going to make weight. Nicholas Raskin comes on. Cole McKinnon comes on.
Yeah, he looks tired, the lad.
Lawrence off as well.
Fresh legs, big pitch. They've got the two-man advantage. He'll just be saying, look, be patient, keep the ball, pass it, move Hibs about, and then just look for that killer goal. That's obviously got to put them into the semi-final of the Scottish Cup with Aberdeen and Celtic.
I think even the Hibs players are thinking, could be doing without extra time here. Nine men. Could be doing without it. We're knackered. Rangers come.
Here come Rangers. Fabio Silva tries to take it early. It's blocked, but he'll get a second go at it. That's blocked, and it's a corner.
Great defending.
Yeah,
great
Fish. Defending. By the way, Fish has had a not too bad second half. A couple of times Silva's tried to run him, and he's got his body in front. And that time, he just gets himself right back in the correct position to block the second attempt. Good block. But you expect in the closing 10 minutes plus stoppages, probably about another 15 minutes to go, that Rangers will have opportunities like that, where there will be 3v2s and 4v3s, and it's picking the right option.
Technically, you can call right now, Rangers fans, but certainly when this is done and dusted, they'll be looking for you to get your thoughts in on the game, the result, the performance, the refereeing decisions. There's been quite a lot in there. So why don't you get your calls over to us right now if you wish, but certainly after this one is finished. It's an interesting corner routine. It doesn't quite come off. It's the old sort of float it out to Paul Scholes and have him volley it towards goal. The problem being it was John Lundstrom and he gets it wrong.
Wasn't it quite Scholes, was it? Rolled in the shin and off the boot. It's a hard one to
Well, he's a man that separates the teams. Quick thinking, and Hibs making substitutions as well. Obviously they'll have tired legs out there.
Now Dylan Levitt can shoot from distance. No stranger to a goal.
Dundee United and Hibs scored some crackers in his time.
Yeah, scored a good one when Celtic went to Easter Road, didn't he, earlier this season. But like we said, with this being the cup tie, even an equaliser for Hibs takes it to extra time. They've got that two-man disadvantage. Really hard to see beyond anything other than Rangers' progression, even if it was to take a bit longer.
But they've, they're doing enough to.
Yeah, they've done well.
Rangers aren't done and dusted even against nine men. But you reflect on the performance in general from Rangers, and you'd have to say, you know, like Celtic earlier on the day, got the job done, but it wasn't the best.
I've enjoyed my weekend of cup football. It's not finished. We've got another entertaining one tomorrow night, but I expect, obviously, Aberdeen, Celtic, Rangers and Hearts, and I'll be looking forward to that draw.
You should go, really, because you're off
to the draw.
You're not on here tomorrow. You should go to Morton.
Fancy it?
Nah.
At least you're honest.
Yeah, no problem with that.
You'll have that on Morton TV, or is it on? Is it on just
terrestrial
TV?
I don't think you can buy that.
It's
Morton
on
TV.
Subscribe to Morton TV.
Council Telly, as they call it.
I've got Council Telly. I've got my license.
Do you hang your aerial out the window?
Yeah, remember the old days.
Adjust it.
I remember I had a telly. I put money in the back of it just to work it. That's how old I am.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, we've always said you're of Hugh Keevan's generation more than Mark Wilson's. So you always think that you're a young thing like Mark, but you're really not.
No,
Sorry to break it to you.
Yeah.
Next weekend as well. Next birthday. Get another
62.
I don't think
good
play. Yes, and that will be that. We've had another goal at Easter Road. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. And Fabio Silva makes it Hibs 0, Rangers 2. Cut in from that left. He's done that a few times, but this was the one with the end product. Twisting, turning, fired it low beyond David Marshall. Rangers have a 2-goal lead. There's only 7 minutes of the 90 left, and Hibs are down to 9 men. So even by wacky Scottish football standards, Rangers will be in the draw, Hugh.
Yeah, and if we get another goal, I'll have had a correct prediction. And we've got plenty of time to get another goal against 9 men. But it was well taken by Fabio Silva. As I said earlier, when he came at first, he weren't really sure. But that's a very well taken goal.
Yeah, good pass again from Lindstrom. Looking forward right to Silva. I've got to say, I thought Silva looked in the mood from early on. You know, he looked lively, showed pace. He's gave Cadden a tough night. And again, there, squares Cadden up, checks inside him, good finish, game over.
Yeah, terrific. I think the boys have described it brilliantly.
Yeah, the stands are emptying. They can sense this one's over, Gordon.
Yeah, definitely. There's no way back for Hibs now. That's a very, very good finish indeed. So it's been a good few days for Rangers over in Portugal coming back. The only downside is, I think, when you look back at the injuries, Sterling, obviously, McCausland limped off again. But they've got a chance on Thursday night. They'll be in the semi-final of the Scottish Cup. I think Clement would have taken that.
I know that he always argues against this, Philippe Clement, and he showed as much today by picking the team who played Benfica to start this match. But it is Benfica again Thursday night, and you know, players are dropping. Sterling obviously would have no chance of that. McCausland, no chance. The numbers are dwindling.
I think you almost get away with it, Hugh, because it's not a spine of your team, if that makes any sense. I know it's winger after winger, which can affect you. But again, Matondo comes in. He's playing Silva off the wide areas. He's got Rufa, can maybe fill. If you take out a Suter or a Goldson, a Lundstrom, a Dessers, even Butland, then I think it affects your plans more. As long as you can keep that spine fit and well and playing every game, then I think they'll get away with it.
It's getting close though, isn't it?
Yeah, they've certainly got a lot of injuries to key players, you've got to say. But he doesn't seem to feel sorry for himself. Just gets on with it. You just wonder if McCausland's a reoccurrence of when, remember, he limped out of Ibrox and crutches not that long ago. I know he was back fit for Thursday night, and then he didn't. I never seen anything that, you know, out of the ordinary that would have made him limp off. So I just wonder if that's a slight reoccurrence of the Motherwell game.
But I do think, you know, sometimes we go on too much about clubs trying to balance Europe and domestic football. But I do think that there are signs that the workload is catching up on Rangers, and the numbers are dwindling. I know at the same time Robbie Matondo is back and Nicholas Raskin, but and I do think they'll beat Benfica at Ibrox, but the workload and the build up of matches, domestic and European, it could have an effect.
Well, it'll be an interesting week for them. I was going to say, Gordon, just because the workload that they have from now until Thursday evening will be minimal. You cannot see the manager risking anybody in training. And it's the old saying, you're equally more likely to get injured in training as you are a game as well.
Oh, if he plays it early, Roof is in, Shielmaz down the left hand side. If he just plays that ball early, but he takes an extra touch and he lets Hibs get back and regroup, Roof will be desperate to get on the goal scoring sheet today, especially with down to 9 men, looking to create maybe another wee chance before the final whistle. But if I was a centre forward, I'd be desperate to score.
I was wondering if Rangers would play this at walking pace the last few minutes to make sure no one else does get injured. They've got that 2-man advantage as well, so you can't really see any scope for Hibs doing anything in the last few moments. No. And that'll be a frustration for Nick Montgomery, because they were good at the start of the second half.
Well, it's just been a rank bad night for Nick Montgomery. You know, the serious injury to Martin Boyle, two players losing their discipline, ordered off, it just won't do for Hibs.
It's not a lot's went right, has it? No. For Nick Montgomery since he's come in, even his wins never been sparkling. The performance Sometimes good to watch going forward, but yeah, he's struggled. I don't think he's under any pressure losing his job. I think he will go into next season, but he needs to get it right quickly next season.
Well, he's at, you know, Ross County midweek. Their top six place isn't nailed on, Hibs. So, you know, Don Cowie and his team will give them a hard night.
To be fair to Hibs, I know they've not really set the heather on fire, but I think they're going the right way. I think if they give the boy opportunity, as the ball comes in there, easy save for Marshall. But if they give the boy opportunity and he gets his defenders right, uh-huh. If he gets his back line right, Hugh, middle to front, they're decent. And obviously tonight, now he will come out and have a moan at the officials, because that's what happens when you lose games. I think he would need to look at some of his play. I thought they lost their discipline a little bit.
More than a little bit. You know, you get two men sent off, one of your staff members booked. Just a mad, what, 10 minute period?
Yeah.
They were
doing well after the half time. They come out the blocks, they looked the sharper, they were on the front foot. But they just, I think the manager's got to take a bit of responsibility. He's got to see that situation happening, Mark. You've seen it in here in Clydebank. He can't see it 10 yards away. I just don't understand it at all. Yeah.
I'm sure he'll admit to it, will he? Would you admit to that? Would you say I got that wrong as a manager?
Yeah, yeah.
Not a chance.
But I wouldn't have got that wrong. I'd have had him off the pitch.
I think
you've got a feeling for a player that's got to get sent off. And everybody could see that was the situation.
Well, 90 minutes are up. It was just a matter of how long is added on by Stephen McLean. 5 minutes added on. So for me, that means 5 minutes for Rangers to get a third goal. I don't see Hibs getting anything.
Yeah, Hibs look out of ideas. They actually gave it a good goal when they went down to 10 and 9 men. They had a couple of moves up the pitch, but they didn't come to any in the end. And it's really Rangers getting in, particularly down their left, Hibs' right side. And it's certainly going to be 2-0, but can Rangers perhaps add to it? I think a flag has gone up on the far side.
There's only one person in this studio sitting with a 2-0.
Was it you, was it?
Yep.
Oh, good on you, know your stuff.
Just one result, that's all I'm looking. Yeah, 2-0 I went.
I said 2-0.
No, you did not.
I did.
Well, you must have copied me then.
I said 2-0.
What did I say?
You didn't say 2-0. You were right, I thought you were giving me credit there. It was me, it says 2-0.
I think you'll find it was me.
Sums you two up, quite frankly. Can't even remember your own pre-match predictions.
I said 2-0. I remember fine well what mine's is.
But anyway, it's not over the line yet. There's still 4 minutes to go.
The referee would be as well. Just
my 3-0 could come into play here.
Yeah, it could, yeah.
But you're not full of confidence for me.
No. Well, I think there could be one more chance.
Well, Philippe Clement, I'm sure, will be happy with the week's work. They've done what they had to do results-wise. I mean, it came at a bit of a price personnel-wise, a few injuries and so on, but that was always going to be the risk heading into this busy schedule. And again, Rangers might make it 3, Yilmaz. Hibs have thrown their body in the way of quite a few of those, but Tavernier's going to pick up, and now he's going to get a free kick in James Tavernier territory.
Unusual that he's not on the score sheet, the right back.
Still got a chance.
Is it
too close?
Oh yeah,
I've got to say that. Too close. Can't get it up and down.
Yeah. Put the laces through it and all that.
Curling.
He's moved it back a bit, I think.
Oh, that's not too close. He'll manage that.
Yeah, he's moved it back.
That's Tavernier-esque.
At the site of his first ever Rangers goal, of course. Remember Easter Road?
Was it really? Yeah.
Remember the Challenge Cup? Because they were both in the, they were both in the Championship, weren't they? It was 6-2 to Rangers.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
That was his first ever. I think that was a free kick.
From about this area, I'd imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was into that goal.
He looks a bit tired. Do you think Yilmaz will hit it?
Behave yourself.
He looks a bit knackered.
Even Andy Halliday scored that day, though.
Did he really?
He did.
Yeah, Tavernier's hitting this all day.
What do we think? He tends to find certainly the target quite often, the back of the net.
Goalkeeper's left, big gap there. Big gap there.
Ah, there you go. He's hit the wall. But the ball is in the back of the net. Is it going to count? Is the flag up? Yeah, flag goes up.
Oh, Cole McKinnon thought
he thought he had played a part. I think it was him that was offside.
Well, it did take a deflection the way through the first shot, but I don't think there's any doubt they were all offside. Two or three of them at the back post.
Yeah.
I think it's left a fairly straightforward decision in the end. So it's going to be a free kick to Hibs, but we're pretty much out of time. Get your calls in if you can. You can do that right now, and we'll line them up on 01419511025. Rangers fans, what have you made of this? Hibs fans, if there's any, do you feel a bit hard done by penalty, a couple of red cards? Get your grievances in. That's what we're here for. It's like a Sunday night therapy for you on 01419511025.
Did I know you used to do that? Was there not a Sunday night phone in, Hugh, here before? Or a late night phone in?
No.
Yes. Not football, you just mean like.
Aye. Aye, not football, but just tells your problems and your issues and.
Yeah, I was never off the phone.
You've got four guys here ready to solve any issues.
I took part in a competition once before I came here. Richard Park, Dr. Dick's Midnight Surgery, it was called.
It's called what?
Dr. Dick.
And you were on it?
I phoned in.
Did you?
Yeah.
What was the aim of the game?
What'd you phone in for?
It was you had to name the tune or name the band or something of that sort.
And you managed it?
I'll tell you exactly what year it was. 1975.
Yeah, that's a good bit of Radio Clyde trivia, that.
Yeah.
You first appeared on these airwaves as a competition.
Yeah, I phoned in.
I like that.
Ah, that is good, Hugh. That's how you're in touch with the callers.
I always meant to ask Richard Park if, because you know the story that he hired me, he said because I had a weird voice.
Could you phone in?
No. It was he interviewed me for a book I'd written.
Full time at Easter Road. Here's Andrew McLean. Give us a call right now, please.
Hibs 0, Rangers 2. The full time score in what was a lively game at Easter Road. Two goals for Rangers, two red cards for Hibs. Philip Clement's men in the hat for the semi-finals of the Scottish Cup. Most of the game was really open end to end, both teams with openings. The first big one came from an uncharacteristic mistake from Jack Butland. He got the ball stuck under his feet on his own goal line, Maialida sliding in, the ball ricocheting off both of them, then off the post and then out for a corner. Cyril Dessers with a good chance at the other end, robbing Jordan Obita, driving into the box, chopped onto his left foot. David Marshall making the save from the tight angle. Then another bad moment for Jordan Obita, clipping the heels of Dujon Sterling in the box. Stephen McLean awarding a penalty. James Tavernier stepped up, but his penalty was saved by David Marshall. However, the rebound back into a dangerous area of the box. John Lundstrom was first to it, and he bundled the ball over the line for 1-0. Then a real worrying event after that. Martin Boyle going down after a heavy collision with John Souter. He was down for a long time getting treatment before eventually being stretchered off into the second half. And Hibs started well, put a lot of pressure on Rangers. They won a good few corners, but just unable to get that clear-cut chance to level things up. Both goalkeepers having to make saves from long-range efforts after that. David Marshall from James Tavernier, Jack Butland from Emiliano Marcondes. A few incidents then really ramped up the tension in this game, turned into a bit of head loss for Hibs, because first of all, Jordan Obita, already on a yellow card off the ball, made a block on Rabi Matondo. His arm was high. Stephen McLean gave him a second yellow card. Hibs down to 10. Then 2 minutes later, down to 9. Nathan Mariah Welsh went careering into a challenge on the halfway line. It was pretty needless really, but he was shown a straight red card after that. Hibs tried to have a bit of a go with 9 men, however the game started to peter out. A bit of a training exercise in the last few minutes, and in the 83rd minute Fabio Silva made space for himself in the box, shifted it onto his left foot and fired low under David Marshall. The Rangers players celebrating with the supporters that have stayed in the stadium to show their appreciation for that performance. Rangers into the hat for the semi-finals along with Aberdeen and Celtic. Morton and Hearts in the final quarter-final game tomorrow night. The full-time score here at Easter Road is Hibs 0, Rangers 2.
Don't let this catch you off guard. I know it's not often you can call in this show at 7:25 on a Sunday evening, but that is your reality. So come on, what did you make of that? Rangers fans got there in the end. A few injuries to worry about, but you'll be in the hat for the draw. How pleasing was that outcome after a busy week? Hibs fans or anyone else who watched, there were a few contentious moments. A penalty to Rangers, two Hibs red cards. How did you feel those went? 01419511025. If you call us right now and you can look back on Celtic's win as well, we'll try and get you on next.
Your reaction. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale are here at the end of a long day of Scottish Cup action. It's finished with the two favourites through. That does not tell the full story. Celtic winning 4-2 against Livy, leaving it late to stretch the legs in that one. And then most recently 2-0 to Rangers at Easter Road, but Hibs down to 9 men and Rangers awarded a penalty in that first half. So lots to get through. But in the end, Hugh, it's a fairly predictable and strong looking lineup. We get into that tomorrow. Aberdeen, Celtic, Rangers and potentially Hearts, although Morton will have other ideas.
Well, there you would have, if Hearts do it, the top four teams in the country. And that will place its demands on Celtic and Rangers, even though when they play at Hampden and have the bulk of the supporters, it's supposed to be to their advantage. I'm not sure the Celtic fans, and they can shoot me down if they wish, but I'm not sure the Celtic fans would welcome a semi-final against Rangers. I think they would rather avoid them and take their chances on final day, assuming they can get past Aberdeen or Hearts. The Celtic we saw today, and Brendan Rodgers acknowledged it afterwards. He said they had to dig in for their win. The speed of their game wasn't to his liking. There's a certain level of player missing, as Brendan Rodgers said. So I think they would rather avoid Rangers in the draw.
The problem for Celtic is just now, you don't know what you're getting from week to week from them. You know, I watch them against Dundee, fabulous. You watch them against Hearts, okay, they were within the game but lose it. And then today, they win it, but in periods, iffy. Rangers, will tiredness catch up with them sooner or later? I don't know, time will tell. Depends how that game goes on Thursday. For Hearts, what a great opportunity for Stephen Naismith. You know, the Hampden's in sight, he has to take care of business tomorrow night, of course. And for Aberdeen, for any new manager coming in, because I don't think it'll be Peter Leaven who takes on the role come the semi-final. For a new manager coming in, when you're looking for a bounce, what a time to get a bounce. And well, many teams want to play them. You know, always dangerous when you play against a team with a new manager. So it's going to be an interesting semi-final lineup.
Incident-packed evening at Easter Road to round things off. Gordon Dale, how do you reflect on that? And by the way, you can tell us right now, 01419511025. We don't have loads of time left, but we can try and squeeze some in.
Yeah, it was a very exciting game. Lots of incidents, Gordon. You can go back to the Rangers goal, the penalty kick. I think, my opinion, it was the right decision. In fact, I think the referee got most decisions correct tonight. Hibs come out the second half and I'm thinking, next goal's so important, this cup tie. Hibs are at home, they were on the front foot, they were looking good, but for me, they lost their discipline. They really did. And it cost them any chance. I'm not saying they would have got back in, but it cost them any chance of getting back in. They go down to 10 men, then a few minutes later, all of a sudden, 9 men, no hope. Rangers into the semi-final. I'm looking forward to that draw. Now, we keep saying Hearts, because I think we expect Hearts to win that, but Dougie Emery and Morton will have something to say about it. It'll be a difficult tie, but it would be a terrific semi-final.
01419511025. You can tweet as well at Clyde SSB. Let's bring in Robert in Bells Hill. How's it going, Robert?
Hi, Gordon and panel. How you doing?
Not bad in here, thank you. What do you think then after that game at Easter Road? What did you make of it?
First of all, it's first time caller. Result was brilliant. 2-0. Next round. Don't know what else to say. It's just obviously the red cards helped. But obviously another two injuries and what else can you say?
Did you think they were both red cards?
Oh, definitely. Definitely red cards. Obviously the John Lindstrom, the tackle against him, the malice kind of came through. And luckily John Lindstrom wasn't in the way, because if he wasn't in the way, he would have been out for the rest of the season if he was in contact. And just luckily kind of moved his head out of the way and contact wasn't made.
What did you... Well, let's go through them then, because it won't surprise you to hear there's an almighty Barney on social media about whether they were or were not the correct decisions. So let's go through them. I think you've done the penalty enough. You all think it was a penalty, so there's maybe not much debate there. Let's go the first red card. It's a second yellow for Obita. Now, you had it in for him early on, Mark.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean that it all has to end in a red card, Was it a second booking?
I thought it was. Now, I thought when Matondo popped the ball off inside, Obita then looks at him to try and block his run. And I think initially he does okay. As a fullback, that's allowed. You're allowed to block Matondo's run because you know he's got the pace on you. But it's when he gets across him and his left arm then swings round and catches Matondo in the face. That's where he's overstepped the mark, and that's where I think he deserved a second yellow card.
It is sheer stupidity on his part, because immediately before, he's been shoving McCausland off the park, a player who's been injured and is going off the park with the physio beside him, and Obita is shoving him in the back, and you could see Philippe Clement getting very angry with the fourth official over that. And then, to compound the felony, he dives in with Matondo, and the referee has no other option but to show the second yellow card and send him off. Sheer stupidity.
Are you in agreement? Is it a full house?
Yeah, it's a full house for me.
So what in particular you think there's a... I think he doesn't look at the ball, tries to get McCausland, and then there's Matondo. And then there's an arm comes round.
Yeah, I think Mark's spot on. I think the minute he raises that arm into Matondo, I think he's running the risk of a second yellow. And I think Steve McLean was right to give him the second yellow, and obviously that leads to the red. But I think Mark's right. Mark called it earlier. If you're a manager, you're noticing the patterns with the lad, and you knew he was going to run that risk, Gordon. And for me, I think you've got to act. You've got to get him out of the situation, make the substitution, and make sure you keep a living. After that, then the discipline went.
Then the tackle on John Lundstrom, straight red.
Yeah, again, stupidity. Why are you lunging in like that? You know, right in front of the referee, in front of the dugouts. Sheer stupidity, Mark 2.
Did it tick the boxes, Mark, you're looking for endangering an opponent or excessive force or that sort of thing?
No. I thought in real time, yes, it was. I think when I saw it again, and we've got the luxury of seeing it again, as does VAR and the referee if he chooses to go over. For me, no contact. There was speed in it. Was he endangering John Lundstrom? Not too sure about that. Was it excessive force? Well, I don't think there was any force because he didn't touch him, did he?
I still think when you fly in like that, I'm not really sure if... Try to think of the wording of it. I don't know if that would negate any argument about excessive force. I mean, you can still fly in with excessive force, can't you?
But I still think he misses Lundstrom. And look, he gave the referee a decision, but I still think after review, the referee... I thought it was harsh then.
It was a strange tackle to make, Gordon. I don't know if that means it's a red. I'll leave that up to you. But having gone down to 10, you wonder the thought process. But that, like I say, it doesn't mean it's definitely a red card.
Yeah, for me it was a crazy tackle to make, Gordon.
So you think it is?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah. I've watched it a few times. First time with Steve McLean, I think, yeah, definitely red. And then I was sort of trying to convince myself, like Mark, that, you know, he doesn't make that much contact. But just everything about the tackle, I think you just get caught up. You know, everybody had a look at it. I think he runs a risk there. I think he gives the referee an option to send him off.
Bit of a mixed bag then. They all think the first red was the correct decision. Gordon and Hugh think the second red was the correct decision, but Mark Wilson does not. Get your thoughts in right now. Thank you to Robert, and we could be speaking to you next.
Games are over, the talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
We're fast approaching the end of the show. It's a strange schedule for us this on a Sunday night. Gordon DL's missed Songs of Praise, Antiques Roadshow, the full lot. He's itching to get out of here. But we've got time for more calls. Mark is in Airdrie. There were a few talking points in that one at Easter Road. Mark, what did you think?
I think it was a good performance for Rangers all round. Again, another few red cards. I mean, the conspiracy is a little bit again tonight, but the first yellow card, I think it is a red card, but I can see how it wouldn't be. Some people could say it's a guess or whatever, but I'm confident we can go into the treble now.
Well, the guys all think the first red was the most red of the two, if that makes sense, but Mark's kind of understanding both sides. What would you think about the draw, Mark? Would you, as a Rangers fan, like to face Celtic at this stage or wait to the final if they were to get there and you were to get there?
I'd like them to get to the final. I'd like to get them in the final. I'd like to get Aberdeen in the next round. I think they'll be a bit downbeaten as well because they're missing their captain, Shinny.
after yesterday's yellow card. I think the last few minutes of the game. So I'd like to get Celtic in the final.
Let's get it all figured out.
Well, minus Shinny, Aberdeen are down the heartbeat of the team. He's the only one really who has that dig about him. So it's a massive blow for them. You know, no matter who Aberdeen get, they'd be second favourites, whether it's Celtic, Rangers or Hearts. They're not in a position yet. They're not half the team that Neil Warnock thinks they are. So I can understand why Mark is growing confidence about the treble, because Rangers, although the injury list mounts up, the spirit and commitment of the team is second to none.
Mark, what did you think about the fact you seem to have a few injuries mounting up? Is that a concern at all?
To be honest, in the dying end of the season, I think it is a bit of a concern, especially in the wide areas, because we've never really had that much cover on the right-hand side, and obviously Matondo's back in the night. But I think all season we've kind of struggled with injuries. I think it started with Beale as well. We had a few injuries, but I mean, you see what Coman's done with the team. He's took that lead. He's dealt with injuries perfectly. He's, again, the way he handled it with Roof, when Roof came back, he didn't play him in the plastic pitch just to make sure he wasn't going to get a reoccurring injury. So I think altogether, it's been the situation's been handled perfectly, but the situation's all right. We could be doing with a few more with the players, just keep him in fit, keep him going, but Cantwell, he's quite a miss. So I think the injuries are kind of building up a bit and damaging the team, but I think we've done all well with no bad for them.
I mean, maybe Seema will be back quicker than people thought, but Gordon, the reason Dujon Sterling was playing in those wide positions is because Rangers needed him to fill in. He's done very well. Now he's gone off with a hamstring injury, replaced by Ross McCausland, and he went off. Yes, Robbie Matondo came back. They do seem to be mounting up, particularly out wide. Todd Cantwell is still out, like we said. It just seems to be one thing after another.
All in my opinion, I think Sterling's a big miss. I really do. I thought he was excellent in Portugal. Got his first ever goal. Plays a big part tonight. For his 30 minutes he was on, I thought up and down that right side, causing all sorts of problems. Wins apparently kick. He's one of those players that it doesn't matter where you ask him to play, he'll go, he'll give it his best shot. I think he brings a lot to Rangers. Look, you look at both the sides, Rangers and Celtic, they're missing big key players. And obviously Rangers have got a heavier schedule with the Europa League, especially on Thursday night, a great opportunity to progress. So both sides are struggling a little bit with key players and injuries, but look, they've got big squads, you've just got to go on with it.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think Philip Clement is managing it well. Like Mark said, I think, you know, he's mentioned it once or twice, but he's managed to fill in. I'll go back to the point I made earlier, that the spine of the team, if he can keep that intact, then he's got a real chance. Now, when you get to this stage in the Europa League, this stage in the league where you're sitting top and you're in the semi-final with one trophy in the cabinet, of course, the treble is certainly on. But the spine of the team is crucial to further success. If he keeps them fit, they're in with a chance.
I think you'll go through in Europe as well, Mark.
I mean, at Ibrox, I've experienced it. But when we got to the final, I think we can take him to Ibrox. Honestly, I think we can. I think we can go through. I don't think we'll get as far as we did in the final the last time we were in Europa League, but I think we can go through Thursday.
Well, it's going to be some week, that's for sure. Thank you to Mark. That will bring an end to the phone call. Certainly, we're almost out of time. Hugh, how would you sum up this weekend of Scottish Cup quarter final action?
Remarkable to begin with, in that Aberdeen win their way through to the semi-final and then lose the manager at the end of the game, and also lose their captain for the semi-final because Graham Shinney was booked and he's out. But they'll be happy to be there, as will Celtic, who did not play well against Livingston but got there in the end. Rangers ended up playing 9 men, and 9 men looked better than 11 for Hibs, but Rangers got there, and now it's all about Morton Hearts and the draw that follows thereafter.
Yes, plenty to look forward to. That game is tomorrow, so that will be good in its own right. And then we've got the draw, so much excitement, and we can look back on all of the weekend's biggest talking points with Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna from 6 o'clock tomorrow. In the meantime, stay right there. The Sunday Night Takeover with Callum Gallagher is up next.